Welcome to the radio ministry of Clearview Church in Henderson, where our goal is to make Christ visible. Clearview is a place of genuine worship with ministries for all age groups and all peoples. For more information, visit us at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abadon Shaw.
And as you know, our series is called Love is the Greatest. This morning we come to the third message in this series. It is from 1 Corinthians 13. And if you have your Bibles turned there, you can follow along on the screen. I'm reading starting in verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And then verse 13, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. I came to America when I was 17 years old, very young. And I remember going to my first ball game. At the college I was at, they had a basketball game. And I went to this game. I knew what basketball was, but I was not prepared for what I was about to see. I was sitting in the bleachers, and as the game was starting, I saw these people come by the bleachers. They looked like students, but they were dressed in kind of same attire, and they were jumping up and down, doing flips and turns and climbing on top of each other and holding placards and stomping their feet and telling us to cheer. I'd never seen that in my life. And they had all kinds of slogans going, and I asked the guy next to me, I said, I know basketball, but how do these people fit in the game? He didn't even know who I was talking about. He said, oh, you're talking about those are cheerleaders. I said, who are they cheering? Well, they're cheering the game. They're cheering the players. I said, but they're looking at us. He said, I know, but they're trying to get us to cheer along with them and help them to win. This was a new concept for me. And I asked him, I said, well, does this ever work? Now, he was getting a little frustrated with me. He said, well, I guess. What if they stop? He said, well, they play better when you cheer them. Would you agree with me that people in our life also play better when you cheer them? Loved ones, people we come in contact with, when you cheer them instead of envying them, they do better. They improve. And in the process, you also get joy. Once again, Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians because they were going through some problems. A lot of selfishness and self-centered behavior had come into the body. A lot of worldly behaviors were taking place in the church family. And Paul wrote the letter, and he did not begin by saying, don't be selfish or don't be self-centered or you need to get along. Instead, Paul told them, love each other the way God has loved you. At the root of all their problems was the love problem, was the failure to love each other the way God has loved them. Last weekend we learned that love is calming. There is no verse in the Bible that says love is calming. But when you wait patiently on people, when you show kindness to people, it brings a sense of calm in their life. This morning we go one step further. Love does not envy. How do you show that? When you stop resenting people for their success and you begin to cheer them. There is no verse in the Bible that says love is cheering. But when you stop envying people and start cheering them, applauding them, praying for them, that's when you begin to love them. Before we get into the message, let's go back for a second. Would you agree that at the root of a lot of problems that are facing in our homes, in our marriages, in our church family, community, at the root of all these problems is the problem of love? Would you agree with that? Would you agree that many of the problems we are facing is because we don't know how to love others? It's not just a blanket statement, love others, but Paul says, let me explain to you what that looks like. If love is the greatest, are you a loving person? Are you truly a loving person? Now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest is love. You know, I have to ask myself that question. As I've been preparing these messages, I've asked that question. Do I truly love the people that God has given me to shepherd? Or do I just pat them on the back and shake hands? Good to see you. Glad you're here. Praying for you. Hang in there. Let's catch up this. Am I truly saying them because I love them? Or is it just a job? Here's another question I ask every week. Are you saved? What does that mean to be saved? It means, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ into your life as your Savior? Why is that important? Because unless you accept Jesus as your Savior, you do not have the Holy Spirit in your life. It is a job of the Holy Spirit to pour the love of God into your hearts. This morning, as we walk through this message, it's about love, and hopefully you'll have a better understanding of love, but I pray that if you've never made Christ your Savior, you'll do that. Make Jesus the Savior of your life. That's where life begins. So let's go to the message. What did Paul mean when he wrote, love does not envy? If you remember from last week, I gave you a long statement. It's a very important statement. Words. Words have inherent meaning only to a certain extent. They get their true and full meaning from their context. Long statement, but it's a very important statement. What does that mean? Let me give you some examples. Think about the word oversight. If I were to say, she has the oversight of that project, what does that mean? It means she is in charge of that project. But now if I were to say something like, well, I'm sorry, that was my oversight. What does that mean? It means I was supposed to watch, but somehow it slipped by me. I missed it. One meaning is positive, another meaning is negative, but how do you know which one is positive and which one is negative? The context. So also with biblical words, how do you know what they really mean? You have to look at them in their biblical context. Look again to those words. Paul says, love does not envy. The Greek word for envy is zeluo. It literally means to burn or to boil. Why do I use the board? I'm tired of y'all falling asleep on me. The word zeluo means burn or boil. It can have a positive meaning and a negative meaning. Positively, it has the idea of deeply desiring something. He is burning with passion. He is eagerly striving for something. It's positive. Paul uses that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. He says, earnestly desire the best gifts. It means burn in your desire for the best gifts. How many of y'all pray for that? God, give me the best gifts that I can serve the church. But the same word burn or boil also has a negative meaning. It means jealousy or envy. Now, some people think jealousy is envy and envy is jealousy. Just two ways to say the same thing. Not true. What is jealousy? It's when I have something that I am not going to share. Not share. For example, if I were to say something like, he's such a jealous guy, what does that mean? He's so possessive. He's so possessive over his girlfriend. He is so possessive over his car. He is so possessive over something. He is so jealous. Is that a negative word or a positive word? Kind of negative. I'm jealous. Kind of negative. When you apply this word to God, it becomes positive. Listen to what God said in Exodus 20. In verse 4, he is talking to the children of Israel. He said, you shall not make for yourselves a carved image. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Did you know that one of God's names is also jealous? I mean, we know God Rapha or God Tsidkenu or God Shalom. Did you know that one is God jealous? Listen to Exodus 34, verse 14. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Let me take you a little step further. The Hebrew word, this is a Greek word, which means burn or boil, zeluo. The Hebrew word for the same words, jealousy and envy, is kina. You know what kina means? Intensely hot. You see, once again, both Greek and Hebrew have the same idea that when we talk about passion, when we talk about jealousy and envy, we're talking about burning or boiling or intensely hot about something. Positive or negative. Let's go back to jealousy for a moment. God becomes intensely hot when we give his honor to someone else. You say, whoa, God is a jealous God. He won't share, would he? No, God will share everything with you. Did you know that God shares his love with you? God shares his power with you? God shares his authority with you? Did you know that God even shares his glory with you? You say, oh, I don't know about that. Glory, I mean, glory belongs to God. Didn't I read in Isaiah 42, verse 8, God says, I am the Lord, and my glory I will not give to another? Oh, God doesn't share his glory. Did you keep reading that verse? Nor my praise to carved images. When God says, I will not share my glory, he is not talking to us. He is talking to false idols. Folks, God will even share his glory with us. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. What is an heir? Heir is a descendant who receives the inheritance. If we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Isn't God amazing? He says, I'll give you everything I have. I'll give you my love, my power, my authority, my nature, even my glory. Did you know that God even shares his throne with you? No. Yes, he does. Have you ever read Ephesians chapter 2, what Paul says? He said, God raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have a God who is so loving. He is so gracious. When he adopts you as his children, he doesn't say, this much and no more now. Don't ask for anything more. He says, everything is yours. All that I am is now yours. But he's a jealous God. The only thing God will not share with you, with anyone, is your loyalty to him. So let's move on. How about the word envy? What does that mean? There's a difference. John Piper gave a definition that I could not find anywhere else. And I want to give him the credit for that. He said, envy is desire mingled with resentment. Envy is desire for something someone has, but because you cannot obtain it, you begin to resent that person. Let me clarify. You can like someone's dress. I'm talking to the ladies right now, not the men. You can like someone's dress. That's not envy. You can desire someone's success, and that's not envy. You can model yourself after somebody, and that is not envy. You know, oh man, so-and-so, he's so successful. I want to be like them. I'm going to learn principles. I'm going to apply them. I want to become like. That is not envy. Envy is not admiration. Envy goes a step further. I like what you have. But because I think I can never be like you and have what you have, now I hate you. Now I'm going to start rumors about you. Now I am going to question your motives. And if opportunity arises, I might even stab you in the back. God is jealous over us, but he never gets envious of us. There is nothing in you or me that God says, I wish I had that. When you study other religions and mythologies, it's always God wanting something. God coming down to have sex. God's come down to get people to fight for them. God's coming down to attack other gods and use humans. The living true God we worship, Father, Son, Spirit, three and yet one, he doesn't desire anything from us. You know why? Because envy is a creature problem. He is the creator. Lucifer got in trouble. Why? Because he envied God. He said, how come he gets all the praise and all the worship? I want some of that. I do all the work. It was the cause of the first sin. Eve envied God because of his knowledge. I want that knowledge. I want my eyes to be open just like him. How come he gets to keep his eyes open? Envy was the cause of the first murder. Cain killed his brother because he envied his offering. Down through the ages, brothers have envied each other. Ishmael envied Isaac. Esau envied Jacob. Joseph was envied by his brothers. David was envied by his brothers. Did you know that even Jesus was envied by his brothers? Even sometimes they came to him and said, why don't you come home? I don't know what he's up to. He's over there getting all the limelight. He wants people to look at him. I know some of you all saying, must be a man problem. Because all the examples I gave are men. Sisters have envied each other. In the Old Testament, Rachel envied Leah because she kept having children. In the New Testament, who was sitting at the feet of Jesus? Mary. And what did Sister Martha do? She came out and she said, how come she gets to sit over there and I get to slave in there and make all them biscuits? And she was envious of Mary. All of us at some point have been bit by that green-eyed monster. If a friend of yours has a boyfriend or a girlfriend and you don't, you wish you had someone like them in your life, that's okay. But when you begin to talk bad about that person, you've been bit. You want to play sports and then there is that kid who is always athletic and he is good or she is good at everything she does. It's okay to admire that talent, but when you begin to badmouth them, envy has come in. You have children who are average or sick or they just don't seem to be to get it going. And then you see that family, man, they're always happy and shiny, and it seems like their kids are always on top. And instead of saying, well, you know what, I'm happy for them, something inside you says, but you never know what's happening behind closed doors. I can go on and on. The big one is the looks. Why do I have a weight problem? Or why do I have a height problem? I don't like my nose, my chin, my eyes. The list is endless. We feel God is not fair. Why would He bless them and not me? And then we begin to secretly wait for them to fall. To desire those things is not wrong. It becomes envy when you begin to malign them. Hey, can I give you a reality check? There is life between Facebook posts. You know, we see someone's Facebook post. They're so happy. They're so having fun at the beach. You even got a beach post. You think, man, it is so wonderful. Look at them and look at us. Look at him. Look at my wife. Gosh, I wish she would look like so-and-so. She's always put together. You don't know what she looks like when she wakes up in the morning, but you don't care. You're going by the Facebook post. How beautiful, how lucky they are. That's a good statement. There is life between posts, folks. And don't think that this doesn't happen in ministry. It happens more in the ministry than in any other field. How do I know that? Because I have been both the perpetrator and the victim of that crime. Perpetrator? Oh, yeah. Several years ago, Nicole and I went to the Southern Baptist Convention. It's a time when you go and you listen to great messages, you do some business meetings, and you buy some books, sightsee, and you come home and bring all the stuff to your church. So we went. And they had all those things, and they had some of the best speakers in the country stand up and they preach the word. And this young man came up. He was a little older than I was, and he got up there and he did an amazing job. I mean, he was poised. He had the great church. He exposited the word of God. It was touching. It was moving. Everybody applauded. We stood up. I clapped. And as I'm walking out of the convention hall, five words, I don't know where they came from, but somehow they entered my mind. Why him and not me? And, you know, I kind of brushed it off. Went to the book sales. We did some sightseeing on the way back. My whole demeanor changed. And Nicole, I can't get by anything with her. She said, what's wrong? I said, nothing's wrong. She said, oh, yeah, something is wrong. You're not yourself. I said, I'm just tired. We've been driving for 11, 12 hours. Folks, you can live that life for a long time. Nothing's wrong. I'm just tired. We've been driving. It's been a long day. And it took me several weeks until one morning I was having my devotional time, and God said, you know where it all started? When that thought came to your mind, why him and not me? And you did not handle it. You did not take care of it. You did not say, it doesn't matter what God is doing in his life. I am grateful for what he has given to me, and I pray that God will keep blessing him. I did not handle it, and I was bit by the green-eyed monster. I have been a victim of this crime. Several years ago, I was elected to be the moderator of our association. I was only 31 years old, and to be elected to be a moderator, that's a big thing. And it was a big meeting, and it was unanimous. 31-year-old guy standing up there, you know, all right, we call our meeting. I had the whole Robert's Rules of Order memorized. I mean, I was on top of things. And I'm picking up my folder, and they gave me the gavel. All right, this is your gavel for the next year, 2 years, whatever. You know, I'm about to step off the pulpit, and a pastor in the association comes to me. He's the man. It's good to see you. Happy for you. Let me hold that gavel. I said, oh, okay. And he wraps it on that pulpit. I just wanted to do that. Like, oh, we were laughing. He said, you know, they asked me first, but I turned it down because I ain't got time for stuff like this. What he was saying was, you got a lot of time for frivolous stuff. I went from cloud 9 to cloud 0. Listen to what Socrates said 2,500, 2,600 years ago. He said, envy is the daughter of pride, the author of murder and revenge, the begetter of secret sedition, the perpetual tormentor of virtue. Envy is the filthy slime of the soul, a venom, a poison, a quicksilver which consumes the flesh and dries up the bones. The true hope for envy is to understand how God loves us. Do you want to be set free? Learn to love the way God loves us. How does He love? He loves us without envy. God, do you see why I did all this? God is jealous of us, but He is never, never, never envious of us. God doesn't get up in the morning and say, "She looks kind of happy. I'm going to destroy her day." God is always rejoicing for us. He's excited for us. He wants the best for us. He not only saved us, but what did He do? He gave us the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He lives in us and He encourages us. He makes the life of Jesus real in us. And where is Jesus? He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And what is He doing? He is cheering us. He is praying for us. How do you deal with envy? When you begin to love others the way God loves us without envy. Can I get a little bit more personal? Folks, not everything is about your Facebook post. Somewhere you have to say, it's not about me, it is about others. And how should you love them? It begins when you cheer others in their success. It's when you rejoice when you see their posts and when you see their children happy. Instead, rejoice and say, "I'm so happy for you. I'm really excited for your children. I saw y'all's picture. Man, that's beautiful. You got a good family. You got it made." I can find criers any day. I need some encouragers. I need people to say, "Proud of you." By the way, I'll close with this. If you are the one who is being envied, don't get proud. One way God deals with envy is that He crucifies the one being envied. Cain hated Abel. Who got crucified? Who died? Abel died. Ishmael had a problem with Isaac. Who went up on Mount Moriah? Who was taken to be sacrificed? Not Ishmael, Isaac. Esau had a problem with Jacob. Who kept running all his life? Who said to Pharaoh, "My life has been full of troubles"? Not Esau, Jacob. James envied Jesus. Who got crucified? Jesus did. But keep in mind, our trials and our sufferings are not always for us. Sometimes it is for someone else who is struggling with your success. God says, "You know what? I love you, and you know I got you. But I want you to come down here." Now, how do you like them? "Oh, I don't like that. I don't want that problem. I don't want that sickness. I don't want those troubles in my life." All right, good. Now, keep your eyes on me, not on them. Some of you have gone through pain and suffering, and you say, "Why is this happening to me?" Some of our trials are not for us. They're for someone else who is struggling with envy.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Remember, God is cheering us through His Holy Spirit in us, and through Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father, encouraging us and praying for us. Now, how about doing the same for others in your life? For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for today's sermon notes, my blog site at abidanshaw.com.